Well, good morning and welcome to the Prairie Village Church of Christ. We're so glad you're here today to worship God with us. See, we have some visitors in the audience. We want you to know that you're more than welcome. We want you back here every time we're here, worshiping God with us, studying His Word. We're going to engage in a study of His Word right now. I'm going to encourage you to pick up your Bibles if you have one with you. And if you don't, there should be one in the pew right in front of you. There's a rack there. And be opening to Luke chapter 8. And we're going to read verses 16 through 18. So glad you're here today. Luke chapter 8. Starting in verse 16. Now no one, Jesus said, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container, your version of the Bible may say with a bushel, or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand, so that those who come in may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not be known and come to light. So take care how you listen. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. Now I have to ask you, what in the world does lighting a lamp and setting it on a lampstand have to do with the way we hear? It seems like that second statement is completely unrelated, disconnected from that first. How are those two things related? Well, let's back the truck up a little bit and let's pull in to the first part of that chapter and see if we can determine some things from what we notice there. Now we look in verse 4 of Luke chapter 8 and we see a large crowd had gathered around Jesus. And according to Mark's gospel, according to his version of this account, Jesus began to teach them by the sea. And Jesus had actually gotten into a boat and he pushed out a ways in order to address the crowd more appropriately and more effectively. And with the multitude standing there on the shoreline facing Jesus, Jesus taught them many things by parable. And then we get there back in Luke chapter 8, and we see in verse 5 that he taught them the parable of the sower. He said in verse 5, a sower went out to sow his seed. Now that's just another way of saying that a farmer planted his crop. It's just that simple. And he said there is some seed, he said there in verse 5, fell by the wayside. And or the pathway, or the roadside, it may say in your version of the Bible. And all that is the path that the farmer would walk on when he's planting that seed, when he's broadcasting that seed. And it said the birds of the air came and ate it. The birds of the air devoured it. And then we read in verse 6, other seed fell on rocky soil. That's really just dirt with rock underneath it. It's the kind of dirt that will allow a plant, a seed, to spring up, but there's no place to put its roots down, no place to dig for moisture. So it withered away. There was no deep moisture for the roots. And some fell, it said in verse 7, of the seed among the thorns. And those thorns sprung up with the grain, and it choked out that good seed, those good plants. And then in verse 8, Jesus said, other seed fell on good soil, and it sprang up, and it yielded a crop, and it was just a wonderful thing. And he told those people there in verse 8, he who has ears, let him hear. So we can see how Jesus is talking about this is the way we listen, the way we hear, how it's important to do that, all the way back in verse 8. And then Jesus explained this parable, starting in verse 11, to his closest friends, to those who followed him on a regular basis, his true disciples. He said there in verse 11, the seed is the word of God. And those by the wayside, those on the side of the road, the seed that fell there, they're the ones who hear the word of God. But the devil immediately comes and snatches that word, that seed away before they can believe. And they're not saved because of that. So we got to be careful how we hear. These are ones who hear the word, but it's snatched away. Verse 13, Jesus said, the seed that fell on the rocky soil, that's the people who hear the word of God once again, and they even receive it. They even receive it with joy. They're really excited about it. But there's no root there for that seed to grow and to prosper. So they believe for a little while, and then in time of temptation, he said, they fall away. And then in verse 14, he said, those, the seed that fell among the thorn, that represents the people who hear the word of God, but those thorns that spring up with it, those are the cares of this world, those are the riches, those are the worries, those are the pleasures that can choke that word out, that good seed out, and they don't grow to maturity. So we have to be careful how we hear. These folks hear the word, but the weeds choke that out, the cares and concerns. And then, finally, verse 15, the seed that fell in the good soil, That represents the people who hear the word of God with a good and honest heart, a noble and good heart, your version of the Bible may say, and they hold it fast and they bear fruit with patience. Now, we can back up to verses 16 through 18 again, and we can make those connections, those correlations between the light and hearing the word of God. Remember, Jesus is explaining this parable to his inner circle of friends, and he spoke the word. He's talked about the spoken word, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the inspired message that people would be teaching. He says that it's seed. He talked about it as being seed, and now he's describing it as light, something that you put on a lampstand. All he's doing is just shifting metaphors a little bit, talking about the same thing, but just in a little different way. And he says, you don't cover a light or a lamp up with a bushel basket. That's not what people do with light. They put that in the house in a place where all people can see so it can illuminate the house, illuminate the rooms, and they let folks see that. It doesn't do a bit of good to light a lamp and then to hide it away. That's just not proper. And he said in verse 17, even it's going to go so far as to that everything eventually that is hidden is going to be exposed by the light of the gospel. Even the way that seed grows in the ground beyond human eye, beyond the human perception to see. Even the way that the word of God, God's seed, grows within the human heart beyond our ability to perceive. All of that is going to be brought to the light eventually. And Jesus tells his closest friends, his followers, he says, now you be careful how you listen. You take care how you hear this word. You hear it and you go share it. You don't hide that light away. Don't you dare sit on it. You disseminate that light. You broadcast that seed. You hear it and you do it. In verse 18, he said, whoever has, more is going to be given. That kind of seems like a non sequitur as well. It seems like it doesn't belong there, but it really does. I think he's telling us here, especially those closest ones, those who are his truest disciples, the more that's given to you, the more responsibility that you have to go and share what God has given you in his Son, Jesus Christ, by saving you. I believe that's what he's telling them there. And in the next three verses, he goes on to say, if we were to read it, verses 19 through 21, his family was wanting to see him. His mother and his brothers. And Jesus said, you know who my mother and my brother are? My mother and my brothers are the people who hear the word of God and do it. So we can see everything written in these verses, everything in this chapter is all about hearing the word of God. How we hear, how we listen. Really, when it gets right down to it, the whole Bible is based on that. It has to do with that. It's all about hearing. One of the keystone verses of the entire Bible is Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. The Shema, hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Loving God, obeying Him, doing His will, making Him happy with us, it all starts with hearing Him, doesn't it? How well we hear is so important. All the Bible, all of Bible faith is predicated upon our ability to hear. So I'm going to ask you this morning, what kind of listener are you? And in case you weren't paying attention, I'll ask you the question again. What kind of listener are you? Because the way you answer that question and what you do with the way you answer that question is really going to go a long way in determining the successes and failures that you have in this life. All good relationships are built upon good communication skills. In any venture that requires involvement with other people or involvement with another person, good communication is essential for satisfaction in that relationship, in that venture, a business venture, a marriage, a family, a church, a sports league, a recreation league. It matters not what type of venture it is. Communication is going to be the key. Now, one half of the formula of good communication is clarity of speech, the way that we express our desires, the way we make our intentions, our desires known to other people, how clearly we make that known. But the other half is listening. The other half is hearing, receiving the information orally, not orally through the mouth, but orally through the ears, or visually with sign language or the written word or whatever the case may be, how well we receive the information intended for us. I'll show you just how important one little word can be that can make such a difference, a huge difference in the way that someone receives what it is we have to tell them. I'll give you an example in the business world. I read this example on the internet just the other day. A sales consultant was hired by a pharmaceutical company in order to help them teach their employees how to sell their product better. So this woman followed a sales rep around for a day to all of the doctor's offices that he visited. And this one particular office he went to the receptionist at the desk there and asked if Dr. So-and-so was in. And the lady said, "No, sir, he's not here today. He's in the hospital." And right away, this sales rep went into his aggressive mode and he said, "Okay, is there any way I can get a hold of him? Is he going to be back later today? Can I come back later on this afternoon and talk to him?" And the woman at the desk looked at him with a very somber look and said, "No, sir, he is in the hospital. He had a stroke last night and his condition is not very good." So you can see, when she told this man that the doctor was in the hospital, he heard he's at the hospital making his rounds instead of being in the hospital. And as you can imagine, things just didn't go too well for this sales rep that day. Hearing what is said, what is actually said and not what we think is said, is so important to good communication. It's so important to happy relationships, even in a marriage, especially in a marriage. This is true. Have you ever had this happen to you in your marriage? She says one thing, and he hears something totally different. You say this, and he hears that. I cannot tell you how many times that's happened to me and my wife in our marriage, and we've only been married for a year and a half. It just happens a lot. She asks, "What do you have the thermostat set to? What temperature?" And I hear, "You're trying to freeze my kneecaps off here, Buster. What are you doing to me? It's like an ice house in here." She says one thing, I hear something else. She says, "You did such a wonderful job washing the dishes last night." I hear, "I expect you to do that every day for the rest of your life." But we understand serious problems can arise from this, and it has happened. Sometimes she has said things to me that she meant one thing and I took it totally a different way and it hurt my feelings or made me upset or whatever. We can see that this can cause problems. And it makes it even tougher when you discover that the two people actually speak a different language, as I've discovered with my wife and I. I told Teresa that just a few weeks ago, I was out of mouthwash. And she went to the store and she came back and I'm looking through the grocery bags and there's no mouthwash. I said, "Honey, did you get me mouthwash?" And she said, "Did you need some?" And I said, "Well, I told you I was out." And she said, "Oh, you mean you were out." And I didn't know there were varying degrees of out. I thought when you were out of something, you just didn't have any more of it. But apparently there's out and there's out. Out is when you have some left and you're nearly empty. And out is when you're completely empty. I have since learned that there's a difference between done and done. And back and back. See, the backyard is just right outside your back door. And the back is the far extremities of the backyard, the farther side of that. And I've also learned that there's a difference between cold and cold, and that's going to determine whether you wear a coat or a coat. Look, I have fun with this stuff, the way my wife and I communicate with each other, or the miscommunication that takes place. I do. It's great fun. But it's very serious business, and it's vital to the success of any relationship. It's vital to the health and the longevity of any relationship. And as important as that is, our earthly relationships, folks, communication and the need for that pales in comparison, the importance of that, to the need that we have with God, to listen to God, our need to hear what He says, how He says it, exactly what He says, and follow Him to the letter of the law. It's so important to do that. And we read in Malachi chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. "Now, this commandment is for you." Now, this is written to the priest. The prophet wrote it there. He said, "O priests, if you do not listen, if you do not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you and I will curse your blessings. And indeed, I have cursed them already because you are not taking it to heart." Now, this was written to God's people, His special people, His priests. But look, what are Christians considered today? We are a priesthood to Him in a spiritual way. So what He says, we better be listening to and take care not to deviate from that. How we listen goes a long way in determining whether we are blessed or the opposite of that, whether we are cursed or whatever word you want to use for that, on earth and in eternity. Be careful how you listen. Folks, it's so important to do that. What kind of listener are you? Are you a wayside listener? Remember the wayside listener? He's the one who hears the word, and the devil comes and snatches it away even before he has a chance to believe so that he can be saved. You know what that is? That's that old proverbial, in one ear and out the other, listener. My mother used to say that to me all the time. Boy, everything I tell you goes in one ear and out the other. What's wrong with you? And I really don't think it was my fault. I just don't think I had anything in between my ears to hold it in there. But could that be the way you listen? Could you hear things like, I don't know, a sermon from a preacher maybe? Or maybe you read a little bit of Bible and it just goes in one ear and just leaks out the other. Maybe you just don't give it a whole lot of thought. You read it, you hear it, but it just doesn't mean a whole lot to you. The Bible says, Jesus said, the devil comes and snatches that word away when that happens. Let me ask you, how does the devil do that? Does he do that miraculously? Has God given him the power to come in and snatch that word away from you against your will? I promise you, he has not done that. The devil doesn't have that kind of power. It's always up to us. It's always our choosing whether we take the word of God or we leave the word of God. So he doesn't have to do that miraculously. You know, let me tell you how he does that. You allow him to do that. I allow him to do that if we just don't make room for God's word in there between those two ears. We just cram our head full of work and fun and video games and novels and magazines and TV shows and radio and sex and drugs and rock and roll and you name it, the list goes on and on. If we just fill our head up with that, there's not going to be any room for the word of God. Be careful how you hear. Be careful how you listen. Make room for it. Could you be a rocky soil listener? You got rocks in your head? You know what that really is, the rocky soil listener? That's the shallow listener. Remember the one that didn't have much depth of soil? You hear it, and you even believe it if you're a rocky soil listener. And listen, Satan doesn't mind if you hear it. He doesn't even mind if you get a little jazzed up about the Word of God. Remember that person? He receives the Word with joy. Immediately, Jesus said. But there's no depth to the heart, to the soil. There's no place to put down roots for that seed to grow. And in times of temptation, that person falls away. Could that be you? Now, I've seen it happen many a time. Some people come in here and they hear a sermon and they're sold, buddy, on the first pitch. Where do you sign me up? I'm all in. Here's all my chips. Take me. I'm yours, Jesus. And then they walk out the church building. They walk outside those doors. And that's when all the trouble starts, right? That's where the problem is. We can't stay within these walls for very long. If we could just stay right here in these pews, we wouldn't be met with much temptation. We wouldn't. This is a great place to be. Talking about God and singing His praises. Man, that's awesome. But then we go out there in the mean, cruel world where all the temptation is, where Satan bombards us. And you don't really have to go far, do you? You just take a left or a right out here on Valley Station Road and you're going to run into some billboards with things plastered on there you don't need to see. You turn your radio on, you're going to hear things you don't need to hear. Satan doesn't mind, folks. I'm telling you, he does not care if you're a shallow listener. He doesn't care if you have a shallow faith, because you know what he's going to do? He's going to take whatever root you have laid down, whatever seed that has been sown there, and he's going to pull it up by those shallow roots and cast it away by the temptations that he throws at you that you're going to be unable to resist if you don't allow that word to dig deep and put down roots. Be careful how you listen. Let it sink in. Let it take good roots. Water it. Fertilize it. Let it germinate. Let it grow. Let it increase. Give it nutrients so you're more prepared for the world's temptations, so you're more prepared for Satan's allurements. Because I'm going to tell you, I just promise you, they're coming. God will not give you immunity to Satan's temptations. He will not give you that. They're on their way. Now, could you be a thorny soil listener? A thorny soil listener is the one who listens, but also has a lot of background noise that's distracting him. Have you ever tried to talk on a phone, a telephone, maybe a cell phone, that's even the hardest, with a lot of background noise going on? Maybe you're at work and there's some machinery going on, or people talking in the cubicles next to you, or whatever the case may be. Or maybe you're riding down the road, like in my truck that sounds like a wind tunnel. You're riding down Gene Snyder going 65 miles an hour. And you just can't hear anything. It's a big distraction, all the voices and the noises and the sounds. That's thorny soil. Listener, that's how he hears. He hears the word of God, Jesus says, but is choked out by worries and riches and pleasures. I get this image when I read this passage about this guy listening to the word of God, but I see Satan on his other shoulder. And Satan's talking in his left ear, and he's saying stuff like, oh, you know what? You're just not cut out for this Christianity thing. It's too hard for you. You can't make it. It's too long. It's too hard. And you can't make it to the end. So you might as well give up now. You might as well just cash in your chips. It's over for you. Or he might be saying something like, you know, you can't make any money going to church on Sunday morning. You know, he talked about the riches of this world being the things that choke the Word of God out. You can't make a dollar sitting in that church pew. Don't waste your time here. There's no profit here for you. You get out there and you beat the streets. And you put clothes on your family, supper on the table, rings on their fingers, and necklaces around her neck. Or maybe he'll say something like, you're being cheated at all the good things in life. God doesn't want you to have fun, the pleasures of this world, Jesus said, or what choked the word out too. God, he just wants you to give up that and forego this pleasure, and you just can't do anything if you're following God. Satan says, I got a better deal for you. I have got a better deal for you, buddy. You follow me, and you're going to have all the fun that this world can offer you. We got to be careful how we listen. We got to be careful who we listen to. We got to find a way to tune out those inner voices of doubt and worry and lust. And we have to let the word grow to maturity. That's what Jesus said there. That word never grows to maturity. I know a lot of immature Christians out there. They hear the word and they even love the Lord, but they let all these distractions pull them away and keep them from growing to maturity. We got to let those roots be put down so that that seed can grow up. We can just produce a crop as we go on, and we're going to see there the good soil. That's what happens with him. But the thorny soil listener, he's so close to that. The word's in there. It's actually growing. But there's junk growing with it. You got to weed the junk out of there so the word can grow right. Be careful how you listen. I hope that you're a good soil listener. Because the good soil listener, he hears the word. He listens with an honest and noble and good heart. That's so important, folks. That's so important. It goes straight from the ears and it nestles right down into the heart. And it takes root and it grows there in that good soil where... Pay attention to me now. Listen. Where he holds it fast, Jesus said. He holds on to it fast. That means he clings to it until it has a chance to take firm roots and grow deep, grow very far down into that heart. He holds on to it. He cherishes it, that word, like it's vital to his very soul's existence, because it most certainly is. Then he bears fruit. He spreads that seed. He shares it with other people. He shows them what he's found is so good, that it's so good he just doesn't want to keep it to himself. He shines that light. Isn't that nice? That's wonderful. That is so beautiful. The good soil, the good heart, the person who listens well with an open mind, open ears, and open heart. Well, God's talking to you. Did you know that? And he has important things for you to hear. Matters of blessings and cursings, matters of life and death, heaven and hell. Even, I'll say it, a lot of preachers shy away from using that H word, the hell, the four-letter H word. It's real, folks. We got to be careful how we're listening. Are we listening? Now, we talked about the other half of the formula for good communication. It's clarity of speech, because look, ambiguous speech, it's interpreted in the worst kind of ways. But let me tell you something about the Word of God. When he talks to us, it's as clear as can be. It just rings like a bell on a clear summer day. It's just so easily understood. There's no ambiguousness here. He talks in the plainest language. We understand every word matters. Don't ignore any of them. Don't choose the ones you like the best. Take it all or take it not at all. Being a good listener to the Word of God is so important. Look, it's important in life. We talked about that with relationships, good relationships. Let me tell you what God wants with you. Friends, brothers and sisters, he wants a good relationship with you. He wants to be your father. He wants you to be his son, his daughter. But it doesn't get any closer than that. It doesn't. I'm finding that out after all these years. It just doesn't get any better. than that. The relationship between a father and a child. How do we develop that relationship? How do we hone that? It's real easy. Mark 9:7, Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. It says there, "Then a cloud formed, overshadowing him. He was there with Peter, James, and John. And a voice came out of heaven, out of the clouds." It was the Father. He said, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Are you listening? This is how he talks to us. God has chosen the written word as the medium of communication between him and you. That's his chosen form. And you know what? If God says that's the best way, I'm just going to go with him. That's how he talks to us. But we have to listen to him. Listening, like any other skill in life, it needs development. Let me tell you something about God. He doesn't expect you to hear and understand everything there is to know in 1 week. Or even in 1 month. Or even in 1 year. Listen, even in one lifetime, he doesn't expect you to get it all perfectly clear. But you know what he expects from you? To give it your best shot. He expects you to try with all your might to do that. And buddy, what he's got waiting for you on the other side is so worth it if you're willing to do that. I appreciate you listening to me this morning. I could tell you were paying good attention. Thank you so much. You can go ahead and pick up your songbooks now. We're going to sing number 644 to give you an opportunity to obey the gospel this very morning. And I'm going to put the steps of salvation up there. Actually, I'm going to put the passages associated with salvation. What you need to do to be saved, because listen, it doesn't matter what I tell you. You got to listen to God. God tells you. You got to hear the gospel. Romans 10:14, just plain as day. How will they believe on him who they have not heard? You got to believe in Jesus, believe in the Lord, Acts 16:31, Jesus, and you'll be saved. Repent of your sins, Jesus said, unless you repent, you will perish. Confess Jesus, Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Mark 16:16, Jesus himself said, he who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. Very simple, very plain. A lot of people have selective deafness with some of these steps, but they're there and they're plain. But I want to close with this one interesting tidbit of information that I read in researching for this sermon. A man named Mark Goulston, he's a psychiatrist and he's a business consultant, and he also wrote a book. And the book is called Just Listen. And it's about the art of getting through to people, communicating, getting your message through to them in a way they can understand it. And he talked about the 4 R's of listening: removed listening, reactive listening, responsible listening, and receptive listening. Those are the 4 R's of listening. Removed listening is the kind of listening you do when you're engaged in something else, like texting. Anybody ever done that? Talk to somebody and texting at the same time? I've done it. It's rude. I'll be honest with you. I've been rude to other people because you can't really hear what they're saying. But your mind is somewhere else. Doesn't that sound a whole lot like the wayside listener? He just got his head too full of other things. Reactive listening. It's more attentive than the removed listening, but it's still not completely engaged. You hear enough to respond to a statement or a question, but you just don't give it a whole lot of thought. Doesn't that sound like the rocky soil listener? He accepts it emotionally. He hears enough to respond. He's just not completely engaged. He receives it with joy, but he's still just not completely there. Then responsible listening. It's not just a reactionary listening. He hears well enough to take appropriate action. That sounds like the thorny soil listener to me. He's responsible. The word's in there. It's growing. It's just choked out. And then receptive listening. The deepest form of listening, this man said. You understand what the speaker is saying. You feel what the speaker is feeling. This is generous and respectful listening. It forms the deepest kinds of relationship. Folks, isn't that the good soil listener? The good heart? Who actually receives it, receptive listening? That's what God wants for you. You know, I can't help but think that guy, Dr. Goulston, I can't help but think he read the Bible at some point in his life. I think he stole that formula. It's all right there for us in black and white, or in red, I guess, the letters of Jesus. Don't you want the deepest kind of relationship you can have with God? Are you just trying to skim the surface of your spirituality? Are you just trying to get close to God? You don't want to hold hands to him? Don't do that. Walk hand in hand with him, folks. The deepest kind of relationship. He wants that with you. Let the word sink in. Can you do that? And if it has, if it's sunk in this morning and you know what you need to do to be saved, if you haven't taken these steps, can we baptize you into Christ Jesus this morning for the forgiveness of your sins? Or if you've taken those steps and you've fallen away, you've let the cares and concerns and the riches of this world choke that word out, and you've fallen off the right path, can we help you get back? Can we pray with you? Can we pray for you? Can we study with you? Anything we can do here this morning, we're here to help you get to heaven. And that's just the most important thing to us, and we want to help you. So if we can do that, you come up here and talk to me while we're standing and singing.